Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Tuesday, August the 13th, 2019. And it's good to be back in the saddle, although I'm not a horse person, really, but I'll use that metaphor. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Good to have you back. It's been a while.
Walker Wildman's over here with us. Yeah, Walker and I and his brother and his sister and their families, we went on a little family
vacation
last week in Destin, Florida. You been there?
Destin is a beautiful spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful beach, and they will gladly take your money. They gladly took my money.
Fred. 'Tis the season.
Vacation's one of those things. We love Walker. We went on his beautiful beach. We had a great time. A lot of here's the deal, though. We had
seven.
Okay, seven adults, right?
Okay,
I got that right.
Yes, and seven adults, seven children,
and there's seven. I forgot to say hello to Ray. Ray, how you doing, brother? I didn't brought you in.
No, you've been gone so long. Forgot I was here.
I know it. I'm sorry.
No. Richard. No, listen. Hey, so I want to know. Like, did you go deep sea fishing? Did you go golfing?
Well, we're going to do that in a couple 3 years. But right now, we have seven curtain climbers. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking. We have seven. There were seven children, all under five.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I mean, when we come walking down the beach, other families scurry. Okay. They're like, oh, here comes that horde again of those little curtain climbers. So anyway, but we had a great time. But when you got seven under five, then you need to be contained.
It limits some of the things you can do.
Yes, one child for each adult then. Is that how
pretty much? Yeah. You got it, Fred. And Walker's got his twins.
I have three kids under two.
Whoa!
So they're like, but I give kudos. You and Walker and his wife Lexi, they didn't stop them from getting out there in the pool and having some
fun. We've learned to handle them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Lexi has. I don't know about you, but anyway,
I'm support staff.
You are support staff. You do a good job of support staff.
He gets the groceries.
But we know who's primary caretaker in that family.
That's right.
Ray, you through traveling for the summer?
For the moment, I was gone for 31 days to Oregon, Michigan, New York, and North Carolina, but home this month and don't do anything until the week after Labor Day.
Good deal.
No more travel.
A lot going on in the world. We will have Tim Todd on with us in just a few minutes, and we got some great news to share with you about the Truth for Youth Bible campaign that we've been promoting. It's the Bibles are reaching young people and changing lives for eternity. Amen. And we're going to share some of those stories with you coming up in just a few moments here on the program. Walker, you want to tell folks how they can engage with us here on the show?
Sure. Various ways to keep up with today's issues. The first way is our website, AFR.net. That's our website, AFR.net. And additionally, you can download our app, our AFR app, which actually airs all the shows you hear on American Family Radio. Just go to your app store and download it, AFR on the app store.
Fred, what's happening?
Well, the death of Jeffrey Epstein at a jail in New York City last weekend is continuing to make news because the Attorney General, William Barr, doesn't believe that it was just a simple suicide. That is the indication at this point. If you've been following this Epstein story, he was facing 45 years in prison on charges related to young women being used as
underage
women being used at his island down the Caribbean, aboard his airplane, apartments in New York, et cetera, et cetera. So last Saturday morning, we wake up to the news that Jeffrey Epstein is dead. The first story says it looks like suicide. But almost immediately, the Attorney General said something's not right here because he was supposedly on suicide watch, but we're told this morning in one report that his lawyer requested that he be taken off suicide watch. In his jail cell, he was not supposed to have a bed sheet, but he did. He was found with a bed sheet around him.
Around his neck?
Around his neck.
He strangled himself, supposedly.
And then there was a part-time guard on duty. He was supposed to be checked every 30 minutes. He was not. That has all given rise. That's not to say he didn't commit suicide, but it's all given rise to some kind of conspiracy, some kind of inside job. And so at this point, amidst all
the... No cameras.
So at this point, we have to wait on the autopsy was done last weekend. We haven't seen the autopsy report yet. So we're waiting on a lot of things.
This isn't just baffling. This is beyond baffling. And the ironic thing is all the politicians in Washington tout how we need to do away with private prisons and we need to only have federal and state penitentiaries run by the government. Mm. Well, this was a federal penitentiary in downtown New York run by the federal government. And look how bad this went.
Yes.
To say it lightly.
With the most high-profile prisoner they probably ever had. Ray, about this, am I right, Walker?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Let me ask you about this, Ray, because what your thoughts are on this, because I guess some people might say, why is this important? Well, it's important because this fellow, Epstein, he knew a lot of very powerful people, including a lot of very powerful politicians, evidently, that he, Bill Clinton, former president, being among them. Mm-hmm. Who went on several flights on the private plane and I guess was a personal friend, at least for some time in his life, with Epstein. President Trump had a friendship with Epstein back in the 90s, I guess it was, or 2000s, before they had a falling out. So, I mean, he's known a lot of people. So that's why it's important, because a lot of people think he was about to spill the beans of that. Epstein was on a lot of other people who were in his ring, in his circle of friends, also taking advantage of these young women, as Fred calls them, from even from around the world in some cases. So go ahead, Ray.
Well, it seems to me there are only two explanations here, Tim. Either he was murdered by someone or some group of people, or you have incompetence at an unbelievable level. All the different things you mentioned earlier, all that you guys meant, this, and this, that's not just incompetence. That is shocking dereliction of duty. He's the most high-profile prisoner they've ever had there.
Right.
How did all these things, quote, just happen? So, in the beginning, I leaned toward the idea that, well, somebody had him put, you know, somebody had him killed. I still don't rule that out. But when I think about the federal government, it is unbelievably incompetent. But at this level, how could this have happened, Tim, to a man like Jeffrey Epstein?
Suicide watch for 12 days prior.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And to have your lawyer request that you be taken off suicide watch.
That's the report this morning, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you just take out any idea of foul play from the scenario, I'm just going to dismiss that for a minute, even though, like everybody else, you're going, this doesn't add up.
Oh, it stinks.
But if you have someone who's a multi-billionaire, I don't know if he's a multi-billionaire, but he's close to a billionaire if he's not a billionaire. Am I right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. He's lived a life of luxury. Mm-hmm. So he's never wanted for anything since he's been this wealthy. If you have your whole life fall apart, all right, and you're looking at staying in a prison cell, for the rest of your life, and you don't know God, then, the best way out is to kill yourself. I would do it. Huh? Who wouldn't do that? Again, absent a relationship with God. Understand me, folks, I'm talking about. And all you know is mammon, or money and excess, and that's how you live, and that's how you lived. And all of a sudden you realize it's over for me. I'm going to be confined with these roaches here. Then you're going to kill yourself. So no shock that he was on suicide watch. And if you have a bed sheet in there, that's what's shocking right. to me, Walker.
It's either – here's one or two things. One of these two things happened. Either someone set him up for his own suicide, meaning they provided the perfect scenario for Epstein to commit suicide, and he did it. That's one option. We'll find out. The other option is he was killed. So the fact that his attorney, the inmate's attorney can petition the warden to take him off suicide watch is baffling. And then secondly, the fact that he had a bed sheet, which is unheard of when you have somebody on suicide watch or near suicide watch. Thirdly, all the cameras just happen to be turned away from the cell. They're all supposed to have a camera in the cell. Lastly, they transfer his inmate an hour before it happens.
His cellmate.
They transfer his cellmate a couple hours before, mm-hmm. which leaves this perfect scenario that couldn't have been put together on circumstance, and it was put together perfectly to where Epstein's dead.
Well, the other thing that's in the mix of all of this is the history of the Clintons. I'm sorry. And that alone gives rise to people to talk about conspiracies.
He and Bill Clinton were pretty tight. Bill Clinton can deny it, but there's a
26 flights.
There's a trail of, and
the airplane had a name.
Do you call it a manifest on a private plane? I don't know what you call it. You call it that on a regular public airways like American or Delta.
How many people
or
on board?
Like. Mm-hmm. But do you but there's a so a private a private pilot would have to say who's on my.
Yes.
They have to do that, JJ.
Yeah, it's a log. It's a visitor log.
A log,
basically.
Yeah.
So you have how many times?
26.
Yep.
According to that, to the court.
That Bill Clinton was on Jeffrey Epstein's planes?
Yes, that's when it was documented that he was on his plane.
And the plane's name was Lolita.
Wow. You know what? The media is not, I don't know how Fox News is treating this or the New York other, but that's big news.
Yeah, it is.
That's big news that was underreported, right?
Yes.
Because as it was reported, Ray, in the last couple of weeks, you see, well, he was friends with people in high places of both political persuasions, right? Republican and Democrat. But if you got a guy on the plane with him 26 times, talking about Bill Clinton, if that's...
That's a real close friend right
there. The 26 times is not a rumor. That was documented in the federal court case in Florida where Epstein pled guilty to state charges with Acosta, the former... Health and Human Services, I believe, secretary that resigned, who was a U.S. attorney under the Bush administration. So the 26 times is documented according to the FBI and the U.S. attorney's offices.
Yeah. Now, Fred, you're talking about the Clintons, I mean, and you're talking about people who have died.
Yes, Vince Foster.
Around them that had deaths that were hard to believe. Is that what you're saying?
We'll put it
suspicious.
That way.
Yes. Huh? Yes. Suspicious?
Yes.
Well, of course, people on the left would say, you're a bunch of right-wing conspiracy nuts. Well, okay, but, right, there's
if,
still...
If this keeps happening over and over and over again,
right.
It's not so nutty. It's, you know...
It does beg the question, you know, that... Mm-hmm. So, I don't know... So are you saying that Attorney General Barr is going to...
Oh, he jumped in right away
hours. But the coroner has already ruled this a suicide, true?
Mm-mm. No.
No?
An autopsy has been done. We don't know the report from that.
That's where I'm a little frustrated, is that the media, even Fox, within the hour of him being pronounced dead at the hospital, suicide. He committed suicide. He committed suicide. And you ask them, well, how do you know that? Well, we don't know that. That's just what people are saying. So, and they weren't even saying reported suicide. They were saying Epstein committed suicide. Half the articles online are saying Epstein committed suicide. Then you ask, like you're saying, what did the medical examiner say? Well, we don't know yet. So how can you repeatedly say he committed suicide when we really just don't know?
Well, you know, Walker, I want to just add something on that very point. You brought up a scenario I hadn't really thought about, that, yes, he did commit suicide, but all the circumstances around it were arranged to make that possible, right?
Yes.
So even if it is said he committed suicide, there still could be a lot to come out about, well, about why the, you know, why the cellmate was, why the camera, why everything else was perfectly arranged, so to speak, for him to have the opportunity to take his own life.
Right.
Well, and another question that would have to be answered, seems to me, is who benefits from his suicide? Okay.
Good question. So,
now, for him, Jeffrey Epstein, he would benefit from his suicide because it would be, he probably thinks, you know, he there's no heaven or hell. He just probably ceased to exist. So he wants to end this, spending 20, 30 years in prison, okay? So, but who gets his money would be my question. Does it benefit anybody for him to commit suicide that would allow him to say, if you'll help me end this, you get my money. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would be the only.
Well, I think the other thing that you have to look at is that he couldn't test. If he's dead, he can't testify to try to get a bargain about, well, I'll give you this person's name and that person's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the John Grisham novel story here would be that this guy is in prison and it's made to appear that he had committed suicide because somebody didn't want him talking.
Yep.
Okay. Mm. All right. That's what a lot of people are thinking, even people on the left and the right.
Yes, sir. Mm.
I mean, Alec Baldwin thinks it's the Russians. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, right. I know. I've heard that.
Yeah.
And Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe. I think he said it sounded like something happens in Russia. Anyway, we will see what happens with the investigation, but I guess it's going to go to the Justice Department. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What else you got, Fred?
Well, Michael Goodwin, who basically is a columnist in New York City, has now written a column about the New York Times. Tim and Walker, while you were away, you know, there was the coverage of the shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and in El Paso, Texas. And the New York Times initially covered the story of what President Trump had to say about that. And they did a straight-up story, a straight-up headline in the paper, what the president said about we have to end this violence, hatred, et cetera, et cetera. They put that headline up in the paper. Well, within hours, they put a different headline up that was very critical of what the president didn't say. And so what we learned was that the New York Times was hit with a Twitter barrage saying, how dare you put something up that makes Trump look good? You got to change that headline. And so what we have is proof of what we've all been saying. The New York Times has gone way off the left-wing cliff. They are now a paper dedicated to the defeat of Donald Trump. And so Michael Goodwin was on this morning talking about his column about all of this. He was on Fox and Friends. This is what he had to say. Cut two.
The Times has created a monster in that it has to give its readers a daily dose of hate Trump every day. And if you don't, if you drop the ball on one headline, they will come after you because this is now what they expect of the New York Times. More. It's all the news that fits their agenda is what they print. That's what's happened now. The paper is on a mission, as it says, and its mission is to transform America and to elect liberal Democrats to every position up and down the ballot.
So there you have, that's Michael Goodwin.
So you had a headline. You had a headline. The headline read, this is post El Paso and Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
And President President Trump issues a statement and talks about this, and the New York Times headline says, the original headline says, Trump urges unity versus racism.
Yes.
Which was true. That's what the president...
That's what he said.
That's what he said. That's what the president said. So you're telling me that the left in this country then, some on the left, went crazy with Twitter bombardments against the New York Times because that was Trump urges unity versus racism was too positive a headline
for them.
So did the New York Times change the headline?
They actually changed the headline on the later editions.
What did they change it to?
To be much more critical of the president. That what he didn't say about gun control or something of that nature. So it was a dump on Trump type headline.
The New York Times influence, though, to me is it's waning. Now it still is the most widely known newspaper in the United States, with the possible exception of the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, certainly. You're saying they've become an openly campaign piece for the Democrats.
But it's what the New York Times did is representative not only of the New York Times, but where the mainstream media is going in this country. I believe, Tim, we talked a few weeks ago, I have rescinded my membership in the Radio Television News Directors Association.
Long-time member, right?
35 years. I've been part of that. I've gone to their conventions all over the continent through the years. But I decided I could not be a member of that organization anymore because it represents CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, all the mainstream media. And for the most part, they've gone to the left. The convention this year is in San Antonio. I looked at the agenda at the convention, and there are workshops like how to cover politics in the age of Trump. That was one of the things. And so it's the mainstream media, the news media. Now, we've always had columnists and opinions, but the mainstream news media has become a vehicle of the far left, politically speaking. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. They're not even trying anymore for unbiased coverage. They're not. Mm-hmm. What the goal of the New York Times is the goal of most of the mainstream media is to defeat Donald Trump and to use their vehicles that they have, their media vehicles, to change the country.
That's fine if they want to say that straight up, but they don't. They want to pretend like they're some kind of neutral broker of the news.
And they're not.
They're not neutral. They haven't been in I don't know how many years, Fred, but what has changed is they are openly doing this. Mm-hmm. They aren't even trying to hide their bias now. It's an open attack. They want to get rid of Mr. Trump, and they will do anything and say anything. They will change headlines if they think it will help them achieve their goal.
Well, and they were, like the New York Times, were threatened by their readers. Mm-hmm. You can't have something that reflects what Trump said. You got to spin it.
Yeah. You know, and back to blaming the president, whether it be Obama or Trump, for a shooting, is his rhetoric important? And could he do better on toning down, I guess you would say, his rhetoric? That's up for debate. But for the news media, which they did, to say Trump is responsible for a mass killing, and get away with that, that's what's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Well, they want to say that Trump's a white supremacist. This guy who went from Dallas Allen, Texas, to El Paso was a white supremacist, right? Or white nationalist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, he was only getting his marching orders from President Trump. That's what the left wants to say. We'll talk about that more when we get back. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
I read some of the comics and they really touched my heart. Thank you so much for the Truth for Youth Bible.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week, and this year, American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's Word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teens to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. And youth leaders can order Bibles in bulk for just $2 a piece.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. One free Bible will be given to each young person who promises to pass it on to a friend.
It's like, man, I really like the Truth for Youth Bible. How do I get to your church?
Call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time or visit truthforyouth.com.
My life is changed forever.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Why are Democrats bashing America? The answer coming up.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
Presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke told a group of immigrants in Nashville that America was founded on white supremacy, said every institution in the nation is tainted by the legacy of slavery. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar told high school students America did not meet her expectations. She denigrated her adopted nation, our nation, in front of teenagers. If Ms. Omar is that disappointed in America, she's more than welcome to move somewhere else. This is why Democrats are waging a war on our culture, banning books and music, artwork, erasing American history. I write about this in my new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Democrats are so upset with President Trump because they don't want to make America great again. They want to destroy America. Got to read my new book, folks, Culture Jihad. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. It's often said that as scantily clad as Victoria's Secret models are, there is no secret. But with the hiring of openly transgender Brazilian model Valentina Sampaio for a catalog photo shoot, secrets may lurk in the shadows. This transgender model was hired during the same time as Victoria's Secret dumped their chief marketing officer, who had said last year that he didn't believe transsexuals should be in a Victoria's Secret fashion show. According to the New York Times, a Victoria's Secret representative did not respond to requests for comment. Another New York Times article sported this headline, quoting, Victoria's Secret executive leaves as company distances itself from Epstein, unquote. That would be Jeffrey Epstein. What's no secret is this. Apart from the grace of God, men's hearts are desperately wicked and people can't change their sex. God created us male and female. There's no changing one's DNA. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. We thank you for listening to AFR. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. As Walker said earlier in the hour, if you want to watch the show and access the stories that we're talking about, we post the stories so you'll know where we get our information that we're discussing here at our Facebook page for Today's Issues, or we live video on YouTube as well. So check that out, Today's Issues. Also, haven't mentioned this in 2 or 3 weeks, but you have heard the spot probably that we run. We are going to Israel in March. Our annual trip to the Holy Land, March 12th through the 20th. and we're probably two-thirds full already. So if you would like to get the information on the Holy Land Tour and join other AFR listeners from around the country, we would. I'll just tell you where to go get that information. That's at twholyland.com. 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 If you want a brochure sent to your home in your mailbox, if that's the way you want it, then we can do that too. Just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave your name and your address, your name, how to spell the town you live in, your zip code, and all that good information, and we will mail you a brochure right away. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy joins us most Tuesdays during this time period. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she is host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on AFR. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good, in spite of the news.
Let me ask you this, Sandy. We first half hour talked about this Jeffrey Epstein story. Is there anything you want to share about this?
If I choose one thing, it would be this. What is happening now is that the media is trying to diminish any thoughts that there might be some untoward connection between the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein. And what they're doing is they're painting this very broad brush that there are all these wild conspiracy theories out there, and everyone's just jumping at them. And like, for instance, you know, like mentioning the Clintons with Epstein, is this wild? And then now they're mentioning this is the media speaking. They're mentioning Trump with it's all wild conspiracy theories. Well, now here's the truth: the link between Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein is not a wild conspiracy theory. It is a proven fact that Bill Clinton was on that plane at summer reporting 27 times, that Lolita Express, and without his Secret Service on many of those trips. Now, he is admitting only to 4, but they were long trips to Africa, I think the ones he's admitting to. We know that Bill Clinton was very involved with Jeffrey Epstein. We know that President Trump is seen in a video back in, the early 90s, maybe even the 80s, at a party. Epstein comes into I think it might be Trump's residence, I'm not quite sure, or one of his buildings. And we see them yucking it up like Trump as the billionaire playboy that he was at the time. But we don't have any record of him traveling with Epstein except for once, and it was one trip from Palm Beach to Newark Airport. That's not a very long flight, and doesn't really implicate, you know, we don't know what happened on that flight, but it's not like 27 times on overseas flights. We also know that Bill Clinton was at the island many times. By the way, I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures coming out of the FBI investigation of that island that Epstein owned, but they have like a temple with a gold dome in the middle of that island. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, it's weird. That's weird.
It is so bizarre. But I think the caution is this. The media, the left, the powers that be on the left, the voices, the loud voices, always try a bait and switch. They try to confuse people, and they try to shame people for speculating.
Yeah.
When sometimes there's rightful speculation on this. So,
but the Clintons are done as a political force in America today. So if someone would say, well, the media is protecting Bill Clinton over this relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, I don't know, maybe so, but I don't even know if that matters anymore, because if she were running for president, obviously it would. But you know what? You're known by the company you keep. All of us are. And especially, and I'm talking about seeing somebody at a party and a picture's taken, okay? Like in those New York socialite occurrences where, you know, where President Trump, then just real estate mogul Donald Trump, was taken in a picture with Jeffrey Epstein back in the 90s or 2000s or whenever it was. I'm talking about 27 times on an airplane with him kind of friend. And evidently Bill Clinton was tight with this guy. And everybody knew this guy's reputation. So, you know what? You can say, oh, we just were golfing buddies all you want. No. If you're hanging out with a guy and you can get on an airplane with him, you said walking where that was an FBI event 27 times?
Well, yeah. I don't want
to say something that's factually inaccurate.
No, the 26 times, and Sandy said 27, it may be 27, but that comes from the investigation back in 2007 where
he had a plea deal.
This is from the FBI and the witnesses and the witness testimonies from the 2,000-page documents that were released on Friday.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, another thing with the Clintons is she was good friends with Harvey Weinstein. And they took a lot of money from him on their campaign. I mean, it's just tawdry, to say the least. That's a mild word I can use here. For the Clintons, go ahead, Sandy.
Tim, I just want
By the way, Ray is here, and he wants to contribute to this show.
is a fascinating topic. So, Sandy, right now, obviously much more to come out, but would you say at least there's a good possibility in your mind that he was murdered and didn't commit suicide?
Yeah, I would say there's a good possibility because it's just too many things, Ray. I'm sure you guys have already talked about it. You have a guard that's on duty that's not a guard. You've got his roommate moved out the night before. You've got him on suicide watch, but then on the other hand, not on suicide watch. You have them not checking the cell every 30 minutes for regular inmates and every 15 for suicide watch people. It's just very, very strange. By any account, it's a strange set of circumstances.
Yeah.
I think we, you know, the coroner really, I don't think, unless it's happened in the last couple of hours, I don't think the coroner has still rendered a final report. I know that the newspapers are reporting that he hung himself with his sheets from the top of his bed, but I don't think the coroner has confirmed that. So
The fact that a guy, if in fact it's true that a guy who's been on suicide watch a day or two later after coming off that would have a sheet, a sheet, you can hang yourself with a sheet pretty easy if you've got a high place to put the sheet. I'm like you guys, we'll wait and see what happens. William Barr, the Attorney General, personally has said they're going to get to the bottom of it if there's any more to it than he just hung himself. As I said, if you're a guy who doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ, has no hope for your life, and you've lived a life of luxury, and it's all over for you, and you see clearly that you're going to be in this jail cell with roaches for the next two decades, you are going to kill yourself happily. I say happily, and you know what I'm saying about. It's a much better... The thought of not existing anymore is much better than living 20 years with in prison for somebody who has absolutely no hope of the afterlife, is what I'm saying. You're listening ahead, Sandy.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to add one point because I think it's important. I recognize that the Clintons are probably neither of them. It would be very odd if either of them ever had a viable public position again. But the thing that we have to remember is look at the lengths our agencies went to break the law and to abuse the Constitution and to undermine an election in support of the Clintons.
Yes.
So there's something beyond just their personalities, Tim, and that's why I think there's much more at stake here than just the two of them. You know, whatever the thing is, whatever that machine is that drives this wicked undermining of our country is well intact. And so to me, it's tied to this in some form or fashion. And of course, we don't, I think there are other names that we don't know that are connected to this. So that's why the truth, you know, it really does matter that we get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, a couple things related to that. I wish, how much time do we have? My word. You know, the James Comey, LOL, when he came out and did that press conference, it said basically she broke the law 100 ways that I can name, but we're not going to prosecute her. We're not going to recommend her for a grand jury or prosecution. That was just, as I say, that was, as they say, come on, man. That was not credible nor believable when James Comey did that. So that told me he is protecting the Clintons, all right? At risk of his career, he was going to protect the Clintons. And I think he thought, she'll be the next president. I'll be off the hook. Get on with my life. And so I'm going to – that's what that appeared. No, that's what that was. And then – there was a, what was that young, is it Seth Rich?
Yes. Yeah. The young DNC staffer.
Okay. Walker, you and Sandy follow this closer than anybody. What happened with him?
Sandy, do you want to take a jab at that?
You better set this up, because you need to remember this, folks. Again, this is connected to the Democrats, in this case, more specifically. Well, go ahead, Sandy. What happened with Seth Rich? Who was he and what happened to him?
Well, he was a young staffer for the DNC, and he was the one who had access to all of their email and correspondence. And he was mysteriously murdered in the early morning hours. It was like something like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, just out of the clear blue on the streets of D.C. What was he doing out? He was not robbed, but he was murdered. But
they said it was the Washington, D.C. police said it was a robbery gone bad.
Yes, they did, but it wasn't. And so there was this huge cover-up of what happened to him. And then, of course, immediately...
He was a Bernie Sanders fan.
There were a lot of speculations. So a lot of people began to wonder, you know, and all this is in conjunction with the DNC email being released to the public through, well, parts of it, through WikiLeaks, the correspondence with Podesta. Mm-hmm. So people began to speculate, why was he, what happened? Because he had access to that stuff. And then some people said that he was on his way to deliver information about that early hour or early morning hours. And then there were stories about his parents being threatened. I mean, it's a very complicated story. It's very interesting. But what happened was, concurrent with his death and the fact that he really wasn't, there was no theft, and the D.C. police lied about that. There were mixed stories about that. The left started saying that this was another this is a conspiracy theory. Nothing to that. And, of course, they were meanwhile insisting that it was the Russians who leaked the DNC email. And keep in mind that the FBI never did go in and investigate who hacked the DNC server. They never did that. They allowed a third-party entity, which was connected to the DNC, to go in and tell them, the FBI, that, yes, it was Russia. That was never confirmed, and that has been the basis for Mueller's investigation, for everything, has been that the Russians did that. Now, Julian Assange claimed all along it wasn't Russia. And let me just say that when Seth Rich was murdered, Julian Assange as much as said he works with us, that it was Seth Rich. He didn't say that. If you hear the audio, he did everything but say that.
Well, he offered an award to find out who murdered
that's
Seth
right.
Rich.
That's right.
Who, so, Julian Assange?
Yeah, WikiLeaks offered up thousands of dollars to whoever would admit that they killed Seth Rich or lead to the discovery of that.
Yeah, so it's more than a conspiracy theory, but they shut people up by claiming it. And it's like the birther. You're a birther, or you believe Seth Rich. You know, it's the same kind of derision. And so people that are not faint of heart.
When you read somebody's robbed at 4 in the morning,
and it's not theft.
And they didn't take their personal
wallet.
They didn't take their wallet.
He had an expensive watch, I believe, and I don't know what else. But
that sounds like a hit job, not a robbery.
Yeah. Huh? And listen, one other thing that you guys may or may not know about, I think was maybe a month, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months ago, the lead FBI agent on the Clinton Foundation investigation with the FBI killed himself.
Oh, me.
Yeah. So, right. So when we talk about, you know, conspiracy theories, there are real reasons to say,
yeah,
just like with the death of Jeffrey Epstein, something's not right here.
Yeah. You know what?
Something's not right.
A lot of people, yeah, in the media want to, especially in the media, they want to not, you're right. When people bring up things like we've talked about here this morning, and don't misunderstand me. No. Sandy is a responsible, radio talk show host. And this is not the things that we've mentioned here. That's why I asked Walker earlier, is this factual? Because I don't want to get into wild conspiracy theories either. That's not fair to anybody. And certainly when it involves something like people losing their lives, you know, you got to be real, real careful when you talk about things like this. But the things we've mentioned here are facts, and they're facts that have been, and so after a while you have a cumulative effect of the facts where you go, this is too much to consider it coincidental. Okay. you any reasonable person would come to that conclusion, and yet you're not supposed to be able to say that out loud. Because the liberal media would go, I guess you believe in Bigfoot too, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All the while the liberal media is pushing the real conspiracy theory. And that was that Russia cooperated with President Trump to help him win the election. That was the biggest conspiracy, biggest hoax perpetrated on the American people in my memory. And they're the ones that perpetrated that one. So yeah. it's always whatever they are accusing their enemies, and I mean the left now, of doing, and we are their enemies politically, whatever they accuse us of, that is exactly what they are doing.
Yeah. Other than that, Sandy, everything good?
Everything's right. Good, because God knows what the truth is, and nothing, no secrets of man will be hidden. At some point, we're going to know everything.
Amen.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate your time, and we will talk to you later.
Okay, very good. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Sandy Rios. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Todd's in studio with us. Brother Tim is from West Monroe?
Yes, West Monroe.
Louisiana? And now there's Monroe and there's West Monroe, right?
That's right. Divided by the Ouachita River.
The Ouachita.
That's it.
Does that come down from Arkansas?
Yes.
The Ouachita?
Sure does.
And does it go into the Mississippi?
It sure
somewhere?
Does.
Anyway, Tim, you've been with Revival Fires Ministry for how many decades now?
32 years.
Did you start it? Your dad started it?
No, my dad started it back in the day. He started his 70th year of ministry in November of this past year.
Now, your dad would you call it camp meetings?
Tent revivals.
Tent revivals.
And that was on national television in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s.
Very well known, your dad. Now, we talking tent revivals where you go and you sweat like a hog.
Yes.
And you sit there and the old-fashioned, the ladies got the fans going on.
Right.
Those
right.
kind of tent revivals?
Yes, he had actually seated 5,000 people, and he would fill it up everywhere he went. And
a big tent?
Yes, and from those tent revivals, he would start churches in the communities where that they had the tent revivals. They'd go 6 weeks or longer, and back in the day.
Then you're talking 60s?
Yes.
60s
yes.
and 70s?
That's right.
Actually, I don't think hogs sweat, do they? But anyway, I guess I just want to be factually. We are trying to be factual here today. So anyway, you're following in your dad's footsteps, although you don't have the big tent.
Right, exactly.
Right. You prefer the air-conditioned churches.
Air-conditioned auditoriums and churches. That's exactly right.
So you suffer for the Lord just in an air-conditioned environment.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. In all seriousness, you're here with us this week here in Tupelo at AFR, because we've been partnering with Revival Fires by AFR for how many years now?
This is the 19th year.
That is It's hard to believe we've been together that long on this annually.
Yes.
Now, we do this, the Truth for Youth Bible campaign, because this is sort of back-to-school week across the country for a lot of places. That's why we do this now. What are we doing?
This is a Bible that is especially designed for young people that consists of the entire New Testament in the God's Word translation, along with comic stories, graphic novels in the front section, 100 pages that deal with the truth about things like drugs, drunkenness, peer pressure, pornography, sexual purity, abortion, homosexuality. We deal with the truth about cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide, honor, pluralism.
Teenagers are dealing with this every day.
Yes, evolution. And we give the Bibles. We've got the plan of salvation in each story in the front. And we give the Bibles to every teenager that commits to give the Bible to their friends in school that are not serving the Lord.
Free.
Free. Absolutely free.
So you travel the country because you speak. How many times a year do you speak?
I'm out in churches about 45 weeks out of the year.
Okay, you travel, you go speak, and then you often take up offerings throughout the year to raise the money to pay for these Bibles.
Exactly.
So that we can offer them for free to our listeners now.
Yes.
People want to know, well, who pays for these? That's how the money's raised. So now we're offering one free Bible for anybody. How do we do this?
One free Bible per teenager, per household, for every young person. Like if there's four teenagers in the home, then we'll give them four Bibles.
Can grandma do the ordering?
Absolutely. Grandmother, grandfather, parents, grandparents.
It's an honor system here.
Exactly.
We got going on. So when we're about to give the number to get the free Bibles, if they call, where are they calling?
They're calling my office.
We've got West Monroe?
10 phone lines in the office.
Okay, and so they're calling West Monroe
to
Revival Fires Ministries, and they're saying, my name is so-and-so, here's my address, please send me three of these Bibles.
Yes.
Now, then we're going to give their name to a credit card company so that they can harass them.
No, we'll give their name on a label on Bibles to the postal service.
I just want to make sure
the Bible's out.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure people knew that we weren't going to use their name or resell their names.
Right.
So what number do they need to call?
800-733-4737. The number again is 800-733-4737. And they can get additional copies at a discounted cost if they want to get more than just one per child, per teen, per household.
Give me one brief story.
Okay, we've got one young man that gave his heart to the Lord as a direct result of getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible in St. Louis, Missouri. A drug dealer quit smuggling drugs into a school, started smuggling Bibles into a school. In fact, we have a pre-recorded copy of that somewhere along the way if you want to play that.
We might play the next half hour.
The young person, absolutely a phenomenal young man now, serving God, started a Bible club, and is doing a tremendous work in his church. Mm. Started out smuggling drugs. Now he's smuggling Bibles into school as a result of getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible and giving his heart to the Lord.
What's the phone number again?
800-733-4737. We're going to cross over 1 million Bibles this year, historically.
So 19 years.
19 years.
And what you're saying is our 19-year partnership on getting these Bibles out to teenagers across America, we're going to go over 1 million total.
Yes. Yes,
not
exactly.
For this campaign, but for the 19 years.
Yeah, we're over 950,000 right now, coming up on 1 million before this week is out. Help us reach that goal.
Again, the phone number?
800-733-4737.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
God bless you and appreciate the partnership.
Amen. Tim Todd from Revival Fires Ministries. They're based out of West Monroe, Louisiana, where the what river?
Washita.
Where the Washita River runs. Through it, right?
Yes.
Okay. We will be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.